You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir. And with us now is David Buick from Panmure Gordon. David, welcome.
Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
So I think we're probably going to have to start with the Supreme Court's judgment. Are you surprised by what's come out of it?
Nope. Not the remotely surprised. This is a legal matter, and it's not a political matter, and it's not an emotional matter. The judges, I thought the criticism levelled at them at the time for being pro Remain and all that stuff is just nonsense. They are our legal fraternity. The law in this country, in my opinion, is better than anywhere else in the world. And the fact that I'm irritated beyond belief that they've come to that decision, I'm not remotely surprised. And the fact remains is that now Parliament seems to have been handed a little bit more than an olive branch. But the only thing I would say is that if the democratic process does not take place as a result of this, of people saying, well, you know, the parliamentary democracy is that we know that 430 out of the 650 MPs are Remainers, therefore, if they try and turn it over, it's surely totally satisfactory and understandable. No, it is not, because the democratic process was taken at the ballot box on the 23rd of June 2016 by a clear 2 million votes that we were to leave the European Union. And regardless of whether you're a Remainer or a Brexiteer, that must happen.
Yeah, but the only thing with that, because everything else is water under the bridge, is just, it's a bit, isn't it a bit farcical that Parliament, you know, most MPs will be voting against their conscience as far as, you know, pushing through the Brexit?
Well, you say that, Zach. There's an awful lot of people out there who feel that it wouldn't surprise them at all if there was a compromise over the whole of Brexit, based on the fact that it is getting this deal unwound after 45 years and putting something that is workable in place that doesn't destroy the economies of both the European Union and the UK. Before you say anything, I'm not one of them.
No, I'm a Brexiteer.
Yeah, no, we both are. Yes, but
I mean, in fact, I don't even mind if they delay it. They delay it because, in fact, I don't think the EU, as it stands, is going to have more than another 2 or 3 years anyway.
No, I don't.
By the time we're out,
the point. The point I was making, they think it's too difficult, and that, you know, also you hear undertones from the European Union that they are desperate to do a deal with the United Kingdom, and if they are keen to do a deal with the United Kingdom, then give a bit of flexibility and show us a little bit on immigration and various other bits and pieces. This is all surmise.
You know, but you know, Merkel's going to go. Marine Le Pen will be close to winning either this time or next time.
Winters will go.
Everybody's going to go. So the EU is not going to be there. But the EU will probably be finished before we actually leave. We leave it in 2019. I mean, it'll be a very close run.
I'm on your wavelength. I think you're precipitous with the time. But what frightens me more than anything else is that huge efforts, whether it's Tony Blair, whether it's Nick Clegg, whether it's Richard Branson.
Good people.
Yeah, fine. But for them to turn over the democratic process through their influence and their money, I would be very, very upset, and I think that's a serious problem for the United Kingdom. Cast a veil over that. Next.
Okay, so let's move on from the Supreme Court. We've done it to death. Bernie Eccleston leaving F1. What do you make of that?
Well, I think he's amazing, Bernie. 86 years of age, going on 21. He's been almost 40 years at the head of F1. I'm told by a lot of people who work in F1, and I'm not a petrol head, said that F1 wouldn't be what it is today but for Bernie, and whatever he's made out of it.
So it's the best of British, isn't it?
Oh,
I think he's just... Well, he was the one who described women as kitchen accessories, but sure, best of British.
Absolutely brilliant.
The old guard, perhaps.
Absolutely, but, you know, Anno Domini, and, you know, Liberty Media paid a fair £8 billion for it, and the X-Fox chap, Chase, has now gone in as CEO, and Bernie will be there as obviously president or whatever it is. But I bet you he's called upon in the next year or no to make help on certain situations because he's folklore.
Because at some point he made F1 to be getting the most money out of all the sports around the world. It's gone down a little bit now.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's done an incredible job. And the other thing is that makes me laugh. I mean, I shouldn't laugh.
He's reinvented the wheel, hasn't he? Literally.
But how you could be had up for bribery and corruption. Allegations, and I'll leave that line in the word of allegations.
And then get just out write of it a by little, bribery.
Writing a little cheque for £100 million, like you and I write each other a cheque for 100 quid, just shows the strength of the chap and his incredible influence, because anybody trying that caper in this country, it works in Germany, probably it wouldn't work.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't.
So we've just got time for one more thing. So what's catching your eye apart
BT,
from...
BT, no?
Yeah.
Do you want to move on or do you not?
Yeah.
Do you want... BT, 300 million loss or whatever it is, or misappropriation or miscalculation on Italian problems within the BT network. For the share price to come down the best part of 16%, maybe it's improved since I was there, but I don't know, about 16%, £6 billion in value is fearful, but there's a message there. Because I think this is a similar rerun to Dave Lewis as he was at Tesco, that if you've had a problem of that magnitude, which isn't that big, in Italy, tells me management's not right and that things are not right. Well, we know for a start that BT Open World has not done a good job, that we're in the third world as regards broadband and the internet, and they need to shape up and spend some money on it instead of spending it on some dreadful rugby match or football match somewhere where they've put loads and loads of money. Gavin Paterson, I think, is under a lot of pressure now because he's got to prove to the outside world, if we're going to see a recovery in that share price, that he's on the case.
Isn't it time for him to go? Isn't it time for him to go?
Well, it's not for me to say that, but I must say that I would be feeling extremely vulnerable.
And the other thing is, what's the point having all these auditors? I mean, you know, the KPMGs and the other people like that. What do they do?
Zach, you're a very intelligent man. You know as well as I do. You can only audit what you're given. And if you're not given the whole story, because it's inaccurate, you can't blame the auditors. You could say, well, hang on a minute, they're owning millions of pounds for their fees. They've got to have the drains up to do it. Yes, I agree with you to a certain degree.
So you're checking things as they come in, but not after the fact.
But do you know, the art of creative accountancy has never been at its better than it is today. Really hasn't. I think the management's got a serious problem. Gavin Paterson is a very, very gregarious, outgoing, you know, media-friendly CEO. He's been a marketing man all his life. But the fact remains is that family tree going below it needs to have every box ticked with every person responsible for his division absolutely on top of his game. I put it to you, it's not happening.
David, thank you.
Great pleasure.
David Bewitt there from Panmure Gordon.